production of Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, we're back on the Paracast. And no, since we talked to David Politis and J.C. Johnson, I have not gone to any national forests because I do not want to risk disappearing.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, notice a long silence when I said that. Because I thought, you know, Chris is saying, you know what? Look at this. He disappears. I get the show. Okay? I get the company. I get the show. It's all mine if he disappears.
I don't know about that. I have nothing in writing.
We'll have to set something up. If I did set something up, I guarantee you he'd give me a free ticket to go to some place in Utah or somewhere. And
well, speaking of that, the Jesse Ventura conspiracy theory episode on the Skinwalker Ranch aired, and boy, I'll tell you, they sure sanitized it.
They sanitized it. How so?
Well, I've pretty much figured out what's going on. When they finished editing the show about 6 months ago, the producer told me it was the best show that they'd ever done for the series. And then I get a call. The show doesn't air for 8 months. It was totally, you know, shelved. The series, the third season. Come to find out that they were forced to re-edit the Skinwalker Ranch episode. And my guess is that, and he was not happy about it. I should add. He said, "Now the show is only good. Before it was great." Well, I think I figured out what happened. I think Bigelow, who did appear on the show, obviously, in order to use his likeness and his words, he would have had to have signed a release form. My guess is that Bigelow said, "Hey, I want to see the edit, and then I get to take out whatever I don't like about it."
And, you got veto power then.
I do have a sense that certain things were taken out, including yours truly. I was hardly used at all. I have about, I don't know, maybe a dozen words from a two-hour interview. Ryan Skinner, who we've had on the show, also was pretty much left out of the segment. We were the ones that gave all the descriptions of the activity that occurred up on the ranch over the years, some in the book Hunt for the Skinwalker, some not, including Ryan's own personal experiences. And one thing I noticed, they never ID'd anywhere close to where the ranch was. They never mentioned Hunt for the Skinwalker. They never really mentioned the type of activities that have been reported up there. All that was left on the editing room floor, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to get confirmation of that from the producer, who I have a call into, from the production company that did the show. So, once again, you know, it looks like the powers that be are able to use their money, power, and influence to sanitize information that I think we all have a right to know. And their premise at the end of the show was that Bigelow is putting in a space hotel orbiting the Earth, the only private satellites and space objects that are orbiting the Earth are owned by Bigelow. And they say at the end that that's going to be his escape pod for when the aliens attack the Earth.
Okay, and, so he expects the aliens to attack Earth. We don't know about Skinwalker Ranch. That's on the QT. But isn't this kind of something that you've had problems with? You did a segment for the UFO Hunters show. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about all the stuff you've investigated, which they moved to another state.
Right. Yeah, in this case, though, they just left me on the editing room floor, which is okay. Their check cleared the bank. You know, I was a little nervous about some of the things that I said. They didn't use any of it. They were giddy and excited, jumping up and down after my interview, saying this is great. They loved Ryan's stand-up that he did, and all of it was left on the floor.
Now, I have to recall something here. A while back, this is 2, 3, 4 years ago, Bill Burns comes to Phoenix, and they're doing a segment on the Phoenix Lights. And I'm not an expert on the Phoenix Lights because when the Phoenix Lights occurred, I didn't see them. I read about it later. You know, that was just me. I was writing books about technology at that time. All right. So they record a segment with me interviewing Bill Burns about 8 or 9 minutes. No, never showed up.
Yeah, well, that's how the cookie crumbles.
Right. They decided that I guess, was not worthy of having my voice and likeness appear on the UFO Hunters show. I mean, no one gets paid for it anyway, so I guess it doesn't matter, does it?
Well, I got paid. I don't do these things anymore without getting paid, Gene. Except for your show.
Well, there is that. But you got paid for that?
You darn right I did.
Well, then I guess you have nothing to complain about.
I'm actually kind of happy they left me out of the mix. It's one thing to, you know, caress a billionaire's toes. It's another thing to stomp on them. So, you know, I'm perfectly fine with not being used in the segment. I think it would have been much stronger if they had actually dove into some of the activity that had been documented up there. But, hey, you know, water under the bridge. What can you do?
Is there still hope we'll get the sons of Jesse Ventura and Oliver Stone on our show?
I have a call into the producer. Among the things that I want to discuss is extending an invitation to Ty and Sean, yes.
All right. I guess we could hope for that.
Yeah, that'd be good. We'll get the real skinny.
We can ask them, hey, guys, why did this end up on the cutting room floor? Or do they want to tell us?
And why did the network force you to re-edit what the producer said was the best segment, the best show they'd ever done, and it was great, and he said, now it's only good. We had to take a bunch of things out.
Now, is that the only episode that had so many things taken out?
I'm not sure. I think there may have been one other, possibly two. And this is what held the show up for 8 months from being aired. You know, the actual conspiracy theory series was delayed 8 months.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, it's power and influence dictates the level and quality of information that's being relayed out to the American people. And I'm a little disappointed in Jesse for allowing this to happen. I think, you know, it's a little disingenuous to have a show on conspiracy theory and then allow the subject of your show to dictate what you put out there. Because, you know, Bigelow had to sign a release form, and there's no way that he would have given blanket permission to use his likeness if he didn't have a clause in there that would allow him to demand certain changes be made. So I'm pretty sure that's what happened. If I had to guess, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. So we'll see. I'll have an update for everybody after I talk to the executive producer of the program, who is with one of the heads of the production company.
We look forward to hearing what happens. To see what happens and why and whether they're going to admit publicly how this all turned out and what decisions were made.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put a little heat on them.
What you're going to hear today on the PowerCast, by the way, we're not going to censor. I don't think we've ever censored an episode. I mean, we do a little bit of shave and haircut kind of post-production where we clean it up a little bit. But that's about it. Maybe we eliminate one of the seven words that occasionally are used, but that's it. We have a return visitor today.
Yeah, we do. Gary David's coming back. He has a new book out called Star Shrines and Earthworks of the Desert Southwest. Gary, of course, was one of the principal team members who actually came up with the idea of going to the confluence of the Little Colorado and Colorado Rivers that we talked about with J.C. Johnson on the show a couple of months back. And Gary's an archaeoastronomer that has just uncovered some amazing correlations between sacred sites and village sites of the ancient Hopi, and how they perfectly line up with constellations in the sky. He's come up with some more really interesting information in this book. I think we're going to get into a little bit about Hopi prophecy and some of the stranger things that he's encountered in his research and investigations out in the desert southwest of the United States.
Gary David joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the PowerCast.
Neighbors, let's talk body language. You know, when meeting in person, we express so much through the raise of an eyebrow, a nod of agreement. These simple gestures help us communicate more effectively and get positive things done. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. You can meet face-to-face with colleagues and clients no matter where they are. GoToMeeting takes simple online meetings a big step forward with the highest quality HD video conferencing. Share how GoToMeeting allows you to easily collaborate with your team. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Remember once again, neighbors, use the promo code PODCAST. Try GoToMeeting. Visit GoToMeeting.com and click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast. We are enjoying a return visit from Gary David. Man, we'll talk about star people and stargates and all that stuff. But it looks like not only was Chris sort of on a TV show this past few days, I say sort of because of the fact that they put so much of what he did on the cutting room floor, but you, Gary, were also on a show. Tell us about that.
Yes, the show was called 2012, The Coming Apocalypse, and it was on the History Channel. And I saw the promo for it on the website, and there were this couple clutching each other, and they both wore gas masks. And I thought, oh, no, here it comes. And my suspicions were confirmed. It was, just dire, everything dire about Hopi prophecies. It just massive violence and destruction at every, you know, every shot. And then they'd come back to me talking about Hopi prophecy and how there were, you know, and they do have some rather frightening things in their prophecies. And, you know, I tried to stress to the producer, please try to get something positive about the Hopi transition from the fourth world to the fifth world. And, well, he did. It lasted about 10 seconds right at the end of the show. but everything you can imagine, asteroids, nuclear war, comets, any kind of mass destruction you can imagine.
Gary, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you are in conspiracy heaven with this thing.
Undoubtedly. Yeah, you pick your poison, you know, on that show, how the world will end. And then, of course, they had a survivalist couple in Illinois. It was a whole family, really, a very suburban family, you know, preparing for the end of the world. And it was just over the top all the way.
Well, did you read about the Russian government having to come out to allay people's fears about the coming end of the world, that there's this huge wave of almost hysteria sweeping through Russia? People are making all sorts of money on preparation supplies, which always include a bottle of vodka, I noticed.
What is there about the bottle of vodka that enhances one's survivability? Or is it that if you drink enough vodka, you won't care?
I think it's a combination of that. Plus, you can use it as a disinfectant for the horrible lesions that'll break out from the apocalyptic plagues that are going to be sweeping through humankind or something. I guess it's a good topical anesthetic.
Plus, it keeps you warm when the power goes out and you lose your heat.
That's true.
You know,
at least for a couple of days.
That's what I use it for. You know.
Well, so you weren't very happy about the spin, huh? Well, let's talk about Hopi prophecy for a bit. It's a fascinating subject. You know a lot about it. I'm very interested in that subject as well. You have a very good chapter in your new book that really breaks it down, I think, admirably, probably the best look at this subject that I've ever seen in terms of, you know, just real cut and dried information. Let's talk about Hopi prophecy, starting at the beginning. And I, you know, I realize you're not a Hopi, so you can't really be definitive in some of the things that you say. But I'll tell you, for the amount of research that you've done, you are one of the few people that really have a leg up on that subject.
Well, I think the Hopi have what might be called a legacy of prophecy. It's so pervasive in their culture. And they've had these prophecies for generations, and they've been passed down. And there's so many different strands and so many different elders giving conflicting prophecies that it's sometimes, you know, pretty confusing. Of course, Frank Waters in Book of Hopi came out with a number of dire prophecies in the 60s with his book, and this kind of started the ball rolling. But I think the Hopi, you know, the prime prophecy was probably the gourd of ashes falling on the earth. The elders were talking about this gourd of ashes for hundreds of years, perhaps. When this finally happened in 1945 at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the Hopi elders, many of them based in the village of Hope Villa on the Third Mesa, they started to come forth with some of these prophecies. Dan Kajangba was one of the main elders there, and they had a newsletter talking about these prophecies. So it really started going in the 60s and the 70s. The prophecies were brought out to the world at large, and the world started to take notice of the Hopi people in general. You know, before that time, there wasn't too much, other than a few ethnographers in the late 19th century and early 20th century, there wasn't too much attention paid to the Hopi until they started to bring forth these prophecies.
So is that politically correct? You can't get attention unless you have some prophecies to go along with whatever you're trying to sell?
Well, I guess that's the way it works in the media culture like this. You know, I mean, you know, of course, the Maya have similar prophecies, and the Popol Vuh, their major text that deal with a lot of these prophecies that parallel with the Hopi prophecies. And, you know, the prophecies are varied in both cultures. There are a lot of different signs that the end of the age or the Hopi fourth world is ending. And, you know, we could talk about some of the specific signs if you want to.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Didn't Thomas Banyaka go to the UN on a couple of occasions and give that august body warnings that we're approaching tenuous times?
Yeah, Thomas Banyaka and others. In fact, the Hopi sent four different delegations to the UN. And this is one of the prophecies that has been passed down. The Hopi will go to the house of Micah four times and plead for peace, but they will be ignored. Now, the house of Micah, and Micah, of course, is a transparent mineral that, you know, is used sometimes, was used for glass. You know, the settlers used mica as windows, for windows. But this house of mica, you know, the UN building, the Hopi went there four times, and they try to stress that the world needs to change its ways. But, of course, the UN people just said, well, thanks for coming, folks. Have a nice day, you know. So
the door hit your backside on the way out there, Thomas.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and talk about Hopi prophecy and let's give our listeners a sense of kind of a synthesized view of what these prophecies are. There, as you mentioned, there are a number of them. There are some that kind of conflict with one another, but I think you've done a good job coming up with a consensus version of them. Let's go ahead and start ticking them off.
Before our sponsors get ticked off, which, of course, we don't want to happen because otherwise we're not going to be in business. We have Gary David, and we're focusing now on Hopi prophecies. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web app such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
Fake Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's Fate TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We have witnessed two terrible storms in the east, but we are still in the eye of the perfect storm. The most devastating economic condition since the Great Depression. America's worst drought in agricultural history. and now the economic results of the presidential election. This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. I just doubled down and got even more supplies from eFoods Direct, and I recommend you do the same. It's time to get your own supply from eFoods Direct. I know I won't be standing in a bread line trading my freedom for food. I'm taking control of my future, and you're nuts if you don't do the same. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the specials. And you can start with a holiday gift pack that's normally $80, now under $50. Remember, I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or 1 day too late? 409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Hopi prophecies and then some. Lots of interesting, fascinating stuff to discuss for this session with Gary David. Chris raised the issue. Gary, your response?
Like I say, there are a lot of different prophecies we could focus on. What I found really interesting was the white feather prophecies. These are specific, nine specific prophecies. White Feather, he was an elder from the Bear Clan. And this minister was driving across Arizona in the summer of 1958. And White Feather was walking along the road. And David Young, the minister, stopped to pick up White Feather, give him a ride. And they were in the car, and they probably sat in silence for a while, you know, and Indians are not uncomfortable with silence, unlike non-Indians, or some non-Indians anyway. Eventually, White Feather started to open up and say that, well, his sons were all dead and he was soon to pass on to the spirit world. And he wanted to pass on these things that his grandfathers had told him, these prophecies, these signs that the fourth world would end. And some of the signs have come to pass. For instance, the first sign was the people with white skin would come to the Hopi land and bring sticks that struck like thunder. And, of course, these are the rifles that the white man brought. Another prophecy was there would be spinning wheels filled with voices. And you can interpret this in a number of ways. It might be the spinning wheels that wagons. You can look at a wagon wheel spinning, and it's kind of whirs like that. Or it might be a modern-day car, you know. So that's another one of the prophecies that have come to pass. And then another prophecy was a beast that looked like a buffalo but had great long horns would come and overrun the land in large numbers. And, of course, the longhorn cattle would fit that description pretty well. Another prophecy that White Feather told the minister, David Young, snakes of iron would crisscross the land. And this the snakes of iron, of course, are the railroad tracks that brought the white men to the West. A further prophecy, a giant spider's web will encompass the whole land, will be covered with a giant spider's web at the end of the fourth world. And this happened in the 19th century with the telegraph. now power lines and telephone lines, and now, of course, we have the Internet, the World Wide Web. It's an actual spider's web of communication that we use to talk all around the world. So a lot of these things are coming to pass as we speak. One particular one that happened recently in the summer of 2010, the prophecy was that the sea would turn black and many of the creatures in it would die. And, of course, the Gulf oil spill was all about that in 2010. Indeed, the sea turned black and a lot of the marine life perished.
One thing about prophecies, though, sometimes we have to look at this and say, are we stretching the meaning? You know, we're taking something that's very general. And we understand if you're trying to predict something that maybe hasn't been invented yet, you're not going to be as specific as maybe we are in today's scientifically oriented society. But the key is here, and some of the skeptics will say, you know what? What you're doing here is you are manipulating these prophecies very general to make them look like they're something specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the Hopi and other Native peoples, they speak in a symbolic language, in the language of symbols. As you know, if you read any poetry or poetic language, that can be interpreted in a number of ways. Prophecy is not empirical science. And I think we want to try to, there's an art to interpreting prophecy as well as just try to divine the meaning logically. I mean, you have to kind of see what's BS and what rings true to you. And I think everybody has to do that for him or herself to interpret these things. Yeah.
The Hopi themselves are the ones that are interpreting these modern fulfillments of very old prophecy. They're the ones that are coming up actually with the attributions. One prophecy that you hear a lot about in the New Age community is the Blue Star Kachina prophecy. Now, this is not from the original White Feather collection of prophecies, but there have been mentions up at Hopi, including Grandfather Martin. I think Thomas Banyaka mentioned the Blue Star Kachina. I always thought that this was something that was not really part of the original prophecies, but somehow it seems that the Hopi have embraced this particular aspect of Hopi prophecy. What do you know about the Blue Star Kachina, where this particular thing may have originated, and what are the Hopi thinking about this right now?
Well, it's hard to say what the Hopi think, because when you say the Hopi, that's really a misnomer. And a lot of people are confused by this, because the Hopi are really not a monolithic tribe. They're a number of clans that came together at the center of the world, those three Hopi mesas that the Hopi currently live on.
Well, we're all Hopi, according to the Hopi. Hopi means the people. So,
but a lot of Native American groups designate themselves as the people, you know, in their own language, you know. So I don't know if we are all Hopi, you know. I think that would be maybe stretching it a little bit. But as far as the Blue Star Kachina, you know, the first that I've heard of this was in Frank Waters' book, you know. The Sakwa Sohu, it's called. And the blue star would appear in the heavens. Now, many interpretations of what the blue star is. Some say it hasn't appeared yet. Others say that it was Hale Bopp back in March of 1997. And that brilliant blue comet that's streaked across the sky. And at the same time, you know, many people were out watching this comet when the Phoenix Lights appeared. And thousands of people saw the Phoenix Lights. And but the blue star appears in the heavens. And apparently the Blue Star Kachina takes off his mask. And this will signal the end of all Hopi ceremonies. The whole ceremonial cycle will cease at that point. So that's the basic story. And, you know, I don't know whether you can give this particular story a lot of credence or not. I mean, I kind of take it with a grain of salt myself. A lot of people, some Hopis say that the main informant for Frank Waters, White Bear Fredericks, was not a true Hopi. He didn't have the true Hopi knowledge. He wasn't part of the spiritual. He didn't have a clan affiliation that was part of the spiritual clan, the Bear Clan, for instance. So, you know, he really was not talking the true Hopi way. So, you know, I think Frank Waters' work is useful, but I don't, you know, that's a lot of people say that's the book of the Hopi, you know, the one source you can go to, but I don't think that's really true.
So there may be disinformation salted through that work, then, is what you're suggesting.
Yeah, sure, yeah. And I've heard from some Hopis say that, well, this guy White Bear, he was kind of loud and ostentatious and very non-Hopi, you know, he was gregarious and, you know, just kind of not the typical Hopi character that you associate with the Hopi people.
I'll tell you what, we're going to explore the Hopi and the prophecies and what might happen later this month, which means, of course, that if the world ends, there'll be no more episodes of the PowerCast from this world. Gary David joins Gene and Chris. You're in
the PowerCast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the PowerCast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
For all women and men who wish their fingernails were harder, this Christmas, wishes come true. Introducing Nails of Steel, a new revolutionary nail hardener. Nails of Steel puts muscle into your soft nails with a creamy, rich, natural herbal formula that is antifungal, hypoallergenic, and biodegradable. Just massage a drop of Nails of Steel over your natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time. Within the first week, you'll notice your nails getting stronger to eliminate breaking, chipping, splitting, hanging nails, and fungus. Nails of Steel makes a great stocking stuffer for women or men. And right now, get 3 1-ounce bottles for only $74.95. That's about a $5 price break on each bottle. That'll last you for months. Visit nailsofsteel.com. That's nailsofsteel.com. Nails of Steel. It's like a salon in a bottle.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Oh, my aching back. I've got to get some relief for my arthritis.
When arthritis pain rears its ugly head, rub on Smooth Gator, the 60-second pain relief. Smooth Gator provides topical relief from head to toe and everywhere in between to stop pain fast. Smooth Gator is made with all natural oils, including wintergreen, aloe vera, and eucalyptus in a safe, non-greasy formula. Rub Smooth Gator on your neck, back, legs, knees, hands, any muscle or joint where pain from arthritis, sprains, strains, or backache needs fast 60-second pain relief. Smooth Gator can also be used for allergies, sinuses, fibromyalgia, and rheumatoid arthritis. In the time it took to listen to this message, you could have had relief with Smooth Gator, the 60-second pain relief. Go to smoothgator.com or phone 727-278-3137. Call 727-278-3137 or click smoothgator.com, the 60-second pain relief.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Dean and Chris, we're exploring ancient or modern day Hopi legends with Gary A. David. Gary, I guess I'll ask that question. What's being said about December 2012? Anything in Hopi tradition that causes us to be concerned?
Well, every December, the Hopi do the winter solstice ceremony, and I'm sure that the spiritual Hopi will be down in their kivas on that date performing the Soyal ceremony. They do that every year, more or less to bring the sun back to Hopi land. You know, the sun creeps a little farther south on the horizon as it rises every day from the vernal equinox onward to the winter solstice, first day of winter. And the Hopi are try to bring the sun back with this particular ceremony. And it's interesting, a side note here, it's interesting that this winter solstice ceremony is synchronized by the constellation Orion as it appears in the overhead hatchway of a kiva. And a kiva is an underground a communal prayer chamber. So they start this winter solstice ceremony, this solar ceremony, when the belt stars of Orion appear in the overhead hatchway of the kiva. So I think that's quite interesting that a stellar configuration starts this solar ceremony. But anyway, the Hopi are never specific about the end of the fourth world or that particular date. That really has no meaning in the Hopi culture. You know, the Maya were obsessed and to some extent still are obsessed with time, with their long count calendar, which is no longer used, and the shorter 260-day Tzolk'in calendar, which is still used by the Maya. And the Maya have determined, you know, thousands and millions of years in the past and the future with their calendars. They foresee dates incredibly far into the future and incredibly far into the past.
You know, I have to ask a question here. Why so many calendars? Isn't one more than enough?
You know, you'd have to ask the Maya that. You know, it's a very complex system of interlocking calendars that
none of them end either, by the way. It's like saying our calendar ends.
Sure, yeah. It's a cycle. We're at the end of the 13th Bakhtun right now, coming up, and that's a 5,125-year cycle that, you know, will repeat. It will just keep going. And that's where a lot of these doom and gloom shows try to hype the whole thing and say that the world is going to end.
Well, of course, these shows have to realize if you say the world's going to end, your show's going to end, and you're not going to have to worry about any more listeners, so why predict that except to get immediate ratings? You want to get ratings for that show. Hey, we can prove the world is going to end, folks, and here's all the evidence, and here's the Mayan prophecies, and this prophecy, and that prophecy, and this calendar. And by the way, tune into next week's episode and next month's episode after the world ends so we can sell you more stuff from our advertisers and predict more disasters.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the Judeo-Christian slant. I mean, a lot of people have this idea of the Book of Revelation and end times, and whether they're a devout Christian or not, it's kind of been planted in our psyches growing up in the West here, that a revelation might be about the end of this world coming very soon. And of course, the evangelicals are rushing to embrace this whole thing and trash the earth in the process because it's not going to matter.
Well, then you don't have to worry about global warming. You know, that's an interesting question here, man-made global warming. What do the Hopi say, if anything, about that?
Well, I think the Hopi, as far as I can tell, connect natural disasters and climate change and tsunamis and earthquakes. It's all part of the way humans are treating the earth. It's all connected. It's because of our actions on this earth. It's not just random weather events that are causing it. It's because of human corruption and dissolution and devolution. And just and it's happened before in Hopi culture. This is, you know, happened three times before, according to the Hopi. So they look at this rather philosophically and say, well, yeah, the humankind is just kind of devolving and getting more corrupt. And
Kweanasquatsi is the term, life
right,
out of balance.
Yeah, life in chaos, life out of balance. And, you know, the Hopi are all about balance. That's why they do their ceremonies. That's their whole role as they see themselves in a global sense. They are literally keeping the world in balance by doing their ceremonies. And the ceremonies are gradually being eroded by various things, the outside world, the materialism of, you know, it's you can see it happening on the reservation. You know, some of the people, Hopi people, embrace technology and have electricity and water to their house, and other villages refuse to do this. So it's a kind of a mixed bag in Hopi land. Even the Hopi are not united in this way, and of course there's always been this struggle between the progressives that want to bring in all the stuff that the white men can offer, and the traditionalists who carry on these prophecies and try to do the ceremonies and try to perform the Kachina dances as close to what their grandfathers taught them as possible. So it's a struggle, constant struggle, to keep this ceremonial cycle going, because it takes a lot of effort, just a physical effort, and you have to make prayer feathers and plan ahead, and you have to, even the food, you have to get the feast ready to feed the people. So it's a lot of energy that the rest of us don't have to worry about. But they're trying desperately to keep the culture going, keep the language, teach the young people the Hopi language, and that's harder to do when they're staring at their video games and, you know, they're texting on their iPhones. It's really it's a hard thing to do to keep the Hopi life going.
You know, what's interesting here, it's almost like the problems faced, I guess, by the Amish, where they wanted their traditional lifestyle, but more and more people leave that and associate with, quote-unquote, the English.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but yeah, I guess you're right on that. You know, they're living very similar types of lives, and a lot of them think that the technology tends to take them away from the ways of the Creator. And, you know, you see this embodied in Prophecy Rock, which is located on the Hopi Reservation. These two paths that we can take in this world. And, you know, we can get into Prophecy Rock if you want to, and description of it. It's a petroglyph on the Hopi Reservation.
Yeah, go for it.
I was there last summer, and we did a ceremony, a corn pollen ceremony at Prophecy Rock, and Grandfather Martin was there, and he performed the ceremony, and he was very upbeat about the fourth world, transition from the fourth world to the fifth, and he said that, you just have to keep going through this hard time. He said, there are basically two different lines on Prophecy Rock, and they're diagonally across the rock carved, and they're two parallel lines, okay? And the lower line is the line of the one heart. That's the line that is true to the ways of the Creator. And this line has a figure of a Hopi tending corn on it, so living in that traditional manner. There are also three circles on this particular line, and that corresponds to the three world shakings, or perhaps three world wars that we'll have to encounter. And there's another line that's parallel to this above it, and there are some figures holding hands on this line. There are four figures, I believe, that are on this line.
I'll get into more detail about what's going on there. Gary David joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.